Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Philippians 4 and 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. That's what we want to talk about today. Think on these things. Let's pray for the lesson this morning for our hearts to be ready for His Word. Lord, we love You and thank You for Your Word. We just want to hear what the Spirit would say to our hearts today. Let us receive this into good ground that we can be challenged and changed and made better to be more like You. Lord, help us to hear it today in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Glory to God. One more hand clap to the Lord this morning before you're seated. Isn't He great? What a great God He is. You can be seated. God bless you in the name of the Lord. Think on these things. When I worked doing security systems back in the early 90s, there was a constant companion with me in my truck. It was Rand McNally map. Now, you kids don't know nothing about no map. This wasn't Siri. This wasn't Google Maps. This wasn't something telling you in 300 feet, turn left or go through this light and take a right at the next one. This was you trying to drive and follow the map. How many, you counting how many streets you got to turn again. But we had maps. When we used to go on trips, they had unfold that map. You could never, once you unfolded it, you could never fold it again. I was convinced of that. But you unfolded these maps so you would know where to go to get to places on vacation. You had maps. And I guess, you know, that's just the way it was until Siri came along. Google Maps came along, and the thing about these maps is that, you know, especially with Google and Siri and your navigation in your car, things like that, you learn to put trust into what this thing is telling you. So you type in an address, it pulls up a map, and you just believe this is where it's actually taking me, where I need to go. It's going to get me there. And sometimes, you know, we follow what we you know what we're doing? We're obeying what it says. Turn left or right. You know, and my wife will tell you, I talk to my when mine keeps telling me, you know, get to the route, and I'm like, shut up. Quit telling me what to do. You know, as you pull in somewhere to get a snack or a drink, it's like, get back, return to the route. When I get my drink, I will hush. But you begin to trust these things and you listen to them, you know. But there are always, you know, if you know where you're going, you don't really pay much attention. Then there are always sometimes those people who they don't need any help. I know it all. I'm not lost. Fine, everything's good, and they end up lost. That's the ones that end up in places they should never be. But some people will trust it so much that if it said turn left and there was a cliff, you'd just drive off the cliff. Because you believe that must be the shortest route. It's going to save me some time. I'll get there. What it's actually telling us is that when we use a map, it's telling us that, or we're admitting, hey, I need a little help. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know how to get there. I don't know exactly where it's at. Could you please get me there? Hard for us to admit that sometimes, but point A to point B is unknown to us. sometimes, and we need direction. We need to know how I can get there. And so we trust this app. We trust this navigation system to get us where we're going, to give us the instructions that we need. And that's the role of the navigation system, give us the instructions. But our role is that we must trust the map maker. We must trust those that are given direction. We have to make the turns that it tells us to make, obey the instructions as they are given, if we're going to get to where we're going. And that's just natural things. But in this walk that we have with the Lord, God is the map maker. And the Bible is our map. I heard someone say years ago, you know, people like to make up acronyms. Bible is basic instruction before leaving earth. Pretty cool. And then somebody said, well, holy could be here only lies your basic instruction before leaving earth. And while that's pretty cheesy, it's true. That if you want to know how to get to where Jesus said he was going away to prepare a place, if we want to know how to get there, it's going to be found in the pages of this book. But if we want the easiest route, the way to get there, it's going to be in this book. You know, people can get to where they're going sometimes without a map, without instruction, but usually it takes them a lot longer to get there, and it's a lot harder, or they end up turning down a street that they shouldn't have went on. They, you know, get hung up sometimes in traffic. The one thing I do love about that app is that if you're going and it says there is a problem up ahead, if you want to save 15 minutes, take this next exit. Yeah, I want to save 15 minutes. I want to get there as quick as I can. Because, be honest, when you look on your app and it says your arrival time is 4:50, you're like, I'm going to beat that. It becomes a game now. I'm going to beat that. I'm going to make up some time somewhere. And if there ain't nobody looking, I'm going to speed a little bit. But I'm getting there. I'm going to beat. And if you roll in the driveway at 4:45, you're like, got it. Got it. All the guys in here going, yeah, that's it. So, praise God. But God and his word, they guide us in the direction that we ought to walk to fulfill his plan and purpose. God has a plan for your life. He has a purpose for your life. And if you want to ever fully realize that, you will find it here in this book, in his word. We can trust him and we can trust his word because God has been leading his people, man, all the way from the beginning book, from Genesis. He has been leading pilgrims to places he wanted them to go and getting them there successfully. He called Abraham. He said, get up, get out of your country, get away from your brethren. That was God's plan. His purpose was revealed in the next scripture when he said, and I will make of you a great nation. He told him the plan, told him the purpose. Abraham would have never realized the purpose if he had neglected the plan. He had to get up, leave his land, leave his father, leave his brethren, and go to the place I tell you to go. I'm going to show you where to go, and that's where I can work on you. Jesus did the same thing when he began to call his disciples. Follow me. There's the plan. Purpose? I will make of you fishers of men. That's the purpose. I'm going to get you there. It's not going to happen tomorrow. You're going to be learning all the way. You will be heading toward that fullness of the purpose I have in your life. You know, Peter didn't realize it till the day of Pentecost. Different ones realized it later in their letters and writings and preachings and teachings and places they went. Then they understood what it meant to be a fisher of men. But they would have never known had they not listened and followed. They followed the living, breathing map in flesh. He was the Word of God. He was their map manifest in the flesh. And he led them and taught them and guided them. So we need to trust God's Word. We need to trust it. We need to think on these things. When we, whatever we allow, we're talking about thinking on things. Whatever we allow to occupy our thoughts and influence our reasoning is very important today. We must watch these things. If we have a consistent diet, if we're constantly putting in listening to temporal concepts and secular opinions and earthly values, that will contaminate our thinking, and it will actually dumb you down. You may have worldly knowledge and wisdom, but real wisdom, true wisdom, wisdom that comes from God, you will lack that. And I know a lot of people who are very book smart and educated, and man, I'm thankful for smart, educated people. I don't think that God's people should be ignorant. I think they should learn and do, and we love our, like I say, our campus, our apostolic people that are just learning and growing, and they are smart, but some people, that's all they have. They have no other understanding. Don't ever get so educated that you leave God out. You don't want to do that. You want to make sure that you hang on to Him. But so, if in contrast to that, if we have a steady, let's say, diet, daily bread, a steady diet of eternal concept, spiritual opinions, heavenly values, that purifies our thinking and leads to an abundance of true wisdom. God's Word is the source for that. We want to be blessed in this life, but how does the Scripture teach us to be blessed? Psalm 1, it tells us how to be blessed. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Doesn't stand in the way of sinners, doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Such a beautiful scripture, such a powerful scripture, and such a unused scripture. Because the world today and Christianity today, the big concept is, well, I have believed, therefore I am saved, and I really don't need to do anything else. I don't need to learn anything else. And that's such going to be such a sad eye-opener one day. But if we want to be blessed and get this, you're not going to be blessed outside of God's Word. You don't get to figure out, well, that's good for some people, but I'm going to be blessed by doing this. He just said how we're blessed when we meditate in His Word day and night. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law does He meditate day and night. He's thinking on these things, and now He is blessed because of these things. I want to be blessed the way God wants me to be blessed. You know, you can be blessed with things in the world. You can be blessed with talent, with giftings in the world, with things in the world, but none of that will get you to where your God wants you to be. You'll never find out the plan or purpose for your life through those things. Jesus spoke as much to the woman at the well when he said, keep coming to this well, you'll always thirst. You'll always thirst and long for more when all it is the world you're bringing into your life. But when we connect with His Word, that's our daily bread. That's what we need to satisfy us, and that's what teaches us what we need to know. And we seek guidance from the Word of God. I do. Do you? I seek guidance from His Word. Lord, what do I do about this? How do I navigate this? How do I stand this? And the Word tells us time and time again how to make that happen. Because in the world, the Scripture tells us that there are many spirits that are going out into the land. Well, in Scripture, you will find that spirits speak. They talk. They influence. When you study that, the influence of other spirits in the Scripture, you'll see that there are other spirits that influenced actions in the Scripture and spoke and said things. And it's the same way today. There are many voices and there are many vices. Voices and vices, and they compete for our attention. You never have any worldly things trying to turn you to God. Never instruct you. You're never watching a TV show or looking at something on the internet that's saying, hey, you shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be watching this. You shouldn't be wasting time with this. You should be reading your Bible. You should be going to church. You should be at prayer meeting. You know, this doesn't happen. The world wants your attention. And our world, and the Scripture teaches us to love not the world, nor the things in the world. But the world, because of the internet and social media. And you know, it used to be all we had to deal with was what you could, you know, billboards or magazines, and things, you know, ads and things like that. But now that everybody has a phone and everything you have has ads, and everything you have or watch has something trying to get your attention to, you know, that, hey, if you watch this, you're going to watch 10 ads before you see the next thing, and everything's trying to get your attention, trying to hook you, wanting to catch you, wanting to get your attention, get you hang on for just another moment, you know, wants to keep you on your phone or on your tablet or on your screen for just another few minutes. Time that you could be spending with the Lord, time that you could be reading your scripture, things like that. So we have to be careful with those things and be smart and know what we're doing, because the world has become a marketplace, and it is full of merchants trying hard to sell us on their answers for our questions, because we have those questions and, oh, we've got the answers. But you know, the thing is their answers will change based on whatever the latest poll shows, the newest protest, the newest social media trend. They're always changing. Each voice attempts to direct us in how we think, feel, reason. It wants to guide what we prioritize, what we value, and then lead us to behave in a certain way. That's what's going on in the world today. But we live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We live. We have a life. It gives meaning to what Paul said when he said, "We in Him we live, and we move, and we have our being. We have our existence. It's by Him." And when we can get to a place in our walk with God where it's no longer about just, "Hey, I'm part of a congregation," or "I'm on a membership roll," or "I just, you know, I'm just here for the fellowship." When we can really get into a place where I live for God, I want to live for God. You know, I don't want to just, I know He loves me. Nothing's going to change that. God's going to love you. Walking away or serving Him fully, God's going to love you. But if you want the fullness of what God wants for you, then you've got to live for Him. Hello. I know that's the world don't get that today, and that's pretty strange teaching and preaching today in the world, but we understand that we live, we can't function, we will dry up and die inside without the Word of God. We need the Word more than ever before. Getting a few there. But it's true. You can't have faith without the Word. I got faith. Well, it's either alive or dead. You can have faith, but it's alive or dead. If you ain't got no Word, it's dead. You've got to have the Word of God. So I don't want these voices that speak through entertainment. You know, they're everywhere. Social media feed, relationships, workplace conversations. I mean, it's just everywhere. Voices, always talking to you. The only voices that are worth listening to are those that are speaking in unison with God's Word. If they're not speaking in line with God's Word, it's no benefit to you. It's not going to help you. For our lives to fully align with God's plan for us, we must seek guidance from His Word, because His Word is infallible. His Word is settled. We can trust the principles and values contained in it. They will lead us in the direction of what God's got for us, of the best things that we can have. Order my steps in Your Word. How will we know where to go? How will we know where to step? How will we know what to do? How will we make any progress if we get out of His Word? Because He orders our steps in His Word. As Joshua had taken up the role of leadership in Israel, and they were getting ready to go into the Promised Land, Here's what the Lord told Joshua was important. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, the book of the law, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. It's not enough to read it and just do nothing. It's not enough to just read it and think about it. He says, so you can observe. How would you know what to do if you don't read it? How would you know what to do if you didn't meditate on it? He said, so you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, that then is very important. Then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have not I commanded you? Be strong, good courage, be not afraid, neither be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. He's going to be with you. That's something to think about, something to meditate on. That's something that when I think of those things, I realize and understand God has not left me. When I'm in trouble, God hasn't left me. I meditate on these scriptures so I know that I'm not alone in my struggle. I'm not alone in my fight. I'm not alone with what's happening in the world right now. God is with me. And I need, if I'm going to be successful, if I'm going to be prosperous, then I must stay in His Word. I've got to do it. And that's throughout the Scripture, the places where God said, think on His Word, meditate on His Word. It's all through the Scripture. So, but we can't, meditation in the Scripture is different than meditation in the Word. The world's idea of meditation is sit down and empty yourself. Free your mind. You're a cloud. You're a feather. You're light. Empty yourself. Meditation in the Scripture is not the same. It's the exact opposite. Fill yourself. To meditate on the Word is to think on that Word, to get more of that Word, to read that Word, to have more of that Word, to be involved in that Word, and to be intentional and contemplate godly principles and values and that give us good understanding and sound reasoning in this world. That's what meditating on the Word of God is that we think about it, we consider it, we don't just lightly read over it and check it off of our bread chart every year, but we spend time meditating. What do you say? Day and night. God said, meditate, Joshua, on this Word, and the blessed man meditates day and night in God's Word. So, as we said earlier, all the voices, the multitude of voices, thoughts, opinions, and values that come flooding in. Here she talks about, you know, when the enemy comes in like a flood. Sometimes things just come in like a flood. And man, it's the Word of God that'll raise up a standard. It's the Word of God that'll protect you. So we can't be casual about just thoughts and ideas that we just sit around daydreaming and contemplating. You got to be careful about what you let in. You do, because it can pull you down into a place you don't want to go. You can begin to think on things so much that you begin to search out. You know, it can become a thought, but then it becomes a search. That happens all the time. And then people end up seeing things that they shouldn't be looking at. It. So you've got to be careful about those thoughts that you just let come in there. We must be intentional and study, meditate on God's Word, focusing on specific verses, general principles and values, because the fact is this: something is going to fill your mind. Something is going to fill your thoughts. Something is going to lead you and generate actions in your life. What will it be? I would rather choose for myself and not let voices of this world choose what I'm going to hear, look at, listen to, or think about. So as we are on this transformation, God making something, we know there's a plan, and now we know there's a purpose that He's working on us. We're like clay in the potter's hand, and as we're in this transformation to be more like Christ, we have to prioritize His Word. You can't be more like Him by neglecting His Word. It won't happen. How can you be more like him? The Bible says he was the Word made flesh that dwelt among us. So how can I be more like the Word if I neglect the Word? How can I be more like Christ when I neglect his Word, his teachings? He told his people when he said, why do you call me Lord, but you don't do the things that I say to do? You don't act like I'm your Lord. You call me Lord, but you don't act like I am your Lord. And so I don't want to just honor him with my lips, but I want my heart to be close to God. Because how a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I want to be like him. I want to prioritize God's Word. Because in his Word, that's where he has communicated his character, his nature, and his principles. That's why Peter would tell us, grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And John would write that the Son of God came to give us understanding and a knowledge of him that is true. He came to teach us about who he is so we could be like him. But without his Word, we won't be more like him. We need to make the same commitment that the psalmist wrote in Psalm 119 and 15, where he said, I will meditate in your precepts and I will have respect unto your ways. That's a good statement to make every morning. God, I'm going to meditate in your precepts and I will have respect unto your ways. That's how I want to live my day. That's how I want my day-to-day to go. I want to always be thinking about the Lord. Not fearful, oh, I'm so afraid I'm not doing the right thing. If I'm meditating on the Word and the words lead me, I'm doing the right thing. That's you don't have to worry, am I going to miss it if the trumpet sounds? No, because I've stayed in the book. I've stayed in the precepts. I've stayed in his way. I've stayed in his Word. I've stayed right here. So I'm not worried if he comes back today, if the trumpet sounds. I'm not afraid that I'm not going because I've stayed in his Word. And so when we stay in that, it removes fear. It removes confusion and doubt. Just be obedient to the Word of God. Church cannot become only a place where we shout and jump and praise and worship, and I'm for all that, so you know I am. But if the culmination of our walk with God is how good we sweated in church today. What did I hear? What did I learn? What touched my heart today? Can I remember what was preached? We can always remember what we sang because we saw so-and-so run or shout or slide across the carpet. You can always remember what we sang. When you get home, can you remember what was preached? Can you remember what was taught in class? Can you remember what touched you that day through the Scripture? That's what I want touching my life. And now, let me tell you, that worship and that praise is so important. It sets the atmosphere. And people begin, the Holy Ghost begins to move and the glory of God comes down because God inhabits the praises of his people. I would not want to have a church that did not praise and worship. That would be because praise and worship is in the Word and it's part of our life. We should praise God. I will bless the Lord at all times and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. People that are great worshipers are not just great worshipers because they love the music. They're great worshipers because they love the Word and they love the author of the book. And so they begin, as the music begins to flow. Man, when you start reading about how Solomon and them, how they begin appointing singers in the priesthood, the singers and the musicians, it gives you a whole new understanding of what this praise and worship is for. It's not entertainment. This is the Word of God. And those men were prophesying in their singings and prophesying in their music playing and in their worship. And that's what's happening when they're singing about healing and deliverance up here. They're simply putting that in the atmosphere. They're believing that God's doing that. So let me tell you, we need that. We need it all. That's And so, but we can't just have one or the other. We've got to have it all. We've got to keep every bit of that. So we must practice the practice of meditating on God's word. That's what moves you toward obedience. As you begin to think about and contemplate and try to start applying the word to your life, that moves you toward obedience. Sometimes you read scriptures and you don't understand, so you pray about it and you study that scripture and you start looking at it and you're like, well, it's in there. God didn't mistakenly put it in there, so I need to see what it says and I need to understand what it says. And you pray about it, and as you begin to meditate on that, it moves you. Look, nobody comes into this thing 100%. We grow in grace and knowledge. We move on toward perfection. We are complete in Him, but we're constantly learning. And you know, when I came into the church, I didn't know nothing about the church. And I came into the church, and I'm looking around, and you know, part of you want to part of new converts, they want to imitate. You see people doing this, so okay, this must be what we do. I don't know why we do this, but this must be what we do. But then you read a scripture that says, you know, lift up holy hands. Oh, it's in the Bible. And you see people just clap their hands and they're like, clap your hands, all your people. You know, oh, okay. So that's in the scripture. Whoa, you're hearing people hollering. And you read, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. And you're like, well, it's in the scripture. And praise Him in the dance. I see people dancing in church. Praise Him in the dance. Oh, well, it's in the scripture. So you start, you don't know that's in there. You think people are a bunch of lunatics, but then you read the book and you read, oh, they're just doing what the word says to do. They're simply doing, and that goes for all scripture. Don't ever think, well, I'm going to understand it all. You won't. You can, if you'll study, but I firmly believe this. And even there are times there are scriptures that I don't fully understand, yet I obey. Because faith applied to the word gets the result of the word. So sometimes there are scriptures like, you know, it's a big thing. People say, well, I'm not convicted by that. If it's in this book, I should be convicted by it. Don't confuse, I don't understand it with, I'm not convicted. If it's the word, I should follow the word. It's in there for a reason. And so I can't fully be what I'm supposed to be if I don't fully go with the word. I've got to stick with the word. You know, after Nehemiah, after they had built the walls and things were back, they were having a festival and they were celebrating because now things were coming back the way they should be. But Ezra began to read from the law. And when Ezra began to read, the people were listening. He said, they didn't get all happy. They started crying. They began to mourn. And they wept because they said, we have not obeyed the law. We built the walls, but we haven't done what's right. And they began to changed their ways, and they began to confess their sins. They studied the word. They learned what He required. And then they began to obey what they had learned. Their devotion did not conclude with confession and then studying. Those actions, it moved them closer to obedience of the word. So we should study, realize where we're not getting it right. Didn't get it right. The way to get it right is right here. And so I'm thankful that God give us His word to show us how to do what we're supposed to do. I'm glad that I'm not just trying to drive somewhere. I would hate somebody to say, hey, I need you to drive right now to Kalamazoo. Some of y'all probably know where it's at. I don't. I don't even know which direction to start going. I would just probably try to drive north and hope somehow. I would want a map. I need some directions. Tell me how to get there. I'm glad God tells us how to get there. Now, in God's Word, in His Word is the revelation of His nature and values. Like I said earlier, it reveals His plan for us. Two places, Leviticus 11:45. See something that God says in Leviticus 11:45. The Lord told His people, He said, I need you to be holy, for I am holy. That's what God said. Well, that's Old Testament. Well, hang on, because Peter said this in 1 Peter 1:16. Because it's written. And if you have read and meditated on it and thought about it, you realize, I need to be holy because God's holy. And so when the Lord, he in these scriptures, you see His nature and you see His plan. His nature is, I am holy. That's God's nature. He's holy. He's a holy God. He says, I am holy. His plan is for us to be holy. So in order to fulfill His plan for our lives, to be holy like Him, I must meditate and practice obedience to His Word. So thank God that He gave us the outline. Clearly, He gave us access to that Word. His plan is not unknown. It is not hidden from us or some great cosmic secret that we'll never figure out. Micah 6:8 says, He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God? God will tell you what to do. I want the will of God. You've heard me preach this before. The will of God is the Word of God. There is no will of God outside of the Word. So the will of God is the Word of God. Amen. And so since His plan is for us to be like Him, and the way to do it is revealed in God's Word, we need to attend to all His Word. Every instruction, command, or principle found in the Bible appears intentionally. Now hear what I'm telling you. You youngins, I'm old enough to call people youngin now. You youngins, you young people, you listen to what I'm telling you, because I have been your age in the house of God. I was young, now I'm old, but I've still never seen the righteous forsaken. You cannot overlook or undervalue an instruction or challenge from His Word because it challenges our comfort, our current lifestyle, our tradition, or previous experience. Culture is never greater than His Word. Convenience is never greater than the Word. No, comfort is never greater than the Word. I'll say it again. You cannot overlook it or undervalue it because it challenges you, your comfort, your current lifestyle, your tradition, or previous experience. To neglect a piece of His Word is to be incomplete in our transformation. We are called to obey all of His Word, and to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. You'll see that in Deuteronomy. Love the Lord. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's the litmus test. You say you love God, then I'll say, well, you keep His commandments. Well, which, don't be like the rich young ruler goes, which, Lord? I've done this. Don't run down your list. Just go, I have. Don't be like Saul and go, I've fully obeyed the Lord. Why do I hear sheep bleeding? And why do I hear animals carrying on? If you did what God said, why is there evidence that you haven't? Because you don't want the evidence to call you out. Why did you heard a pin drop on? We don't want the evidence to call us out. I want to do everything that God's instructed. People are like, please let this lesson be over. Live in obedience to the Word of God takes a conscious effort every minute of the day. Don't take time off. It also requires us to surrender our will to His, lay down our identity, and take on His. These deliberate choices to surrender and obey anchor us when we are tempted to guide ourselves. Through God's Word, we know what actions, speech, attitudes, thoughts, and lifestyle please Him. You learn how to be pleasing unto God through His Word, through His Spirit. Again, let me back up. I didn't say He wouldn't love you. He's going to love you when you get it wrong. But if you want to know how to please Him, do the things that are pleasing in His sight, you'll find in His Word. Through His Spirit and His grace, we can live a life that is pleasing unto God. God's Word is brimming, overflowing with benefits. We must consciously choose what we listen to, what we watch, what we think about, and what we meditate on, because those choices will shape who we are. You know, I know I'm running out of time. Hindsight's 2020. And I realized looking back at my life before the Lord that I let things shape who I was. Music was my big thing. Music was my big thing. If I wanted to get fired up before a ball game, I played ball, and if I wanted to get fired up, man, I'd put on some Wasp. I'd put on some Iron Maiden, and I'd just be... I'd be driving to that game like... just get out, just ready to go. And you couldn't told me nothing when I got there. I'd step up, swing that bat, and I'd be quoting Muhammad Ali. I'm a bad man. I'm about to shake up the world. I ain't kidding. That's the way I was. And sometimes you'd knock one over the fence and prove it. And sometimes you'd pop out to the hind catcher and shut your mouth and go back to the dugout. But it influenced the music I listened to. Influenced how I dressed. Influenced how I talked. How I acted. And I looked back and I saw that. I said, there's two potter's wheels. One for the world and one for the Lord's God. You're going to be on one of them. And I was on the world's. Thank goodness I got slung off and landed in the right on the right one. But it will. It will shape you. You start thinking about that. You get big into country music, man, you're going to have belt buckles and boots. Don't happen. Heavy metal, you're going to have spikes and chains. Yeah. You can tell, but that's why we have all these categories, people. Metalhead, goth, emo, emu, whatever they are. You start looking. But you can tell them by the way they look. And you know what they listen to, how they talk, how they act. Shaped by it. So when people see us lifting our hands, worshiping God, praising Him, lifting up our voice, speaking in tongues, running, shouting, dancing, leaping, preaching, praying, because we've been shaped, we've been molded by the Scripture. We have meditated on these things. We have thought about these things, and people can and they can see us and know. Sometimes they misidentify us. Snake handlers? No. No. Ain't drinking no poison, ain't picking no snakes up. None of that. But they see us and they think, you know, we're profiled into that. So I'll stand together because I know I'm running out of time. And I got to get with it. But remember, I read this in Joshua, and I said that there's one of the biggest, the crutch that this scripture hangs on is this little word, then. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make your way prosperous. You don't just going to say, well, I believe. Listen, God's going to have mercy every morning, and He's got benefits daily. But if you want to prosper, if you want to be what God wants you to be, word, meditate it, think about it, obey it. Let it lead you to obedience. You don't have to jump into some cookie-cutter mold and try to just be an imitation of who you sit beside in church. But get in that word and let it lead you into obedience. Let it lead you into what you need to be for the Lord. Think on these things. And that's what he said. There are so many things in this world you could be thinking about, but he said, think on the things that are true, honest. You'll never find anything true or honest in God's word. Think on things that are pure, lovely, good report, virtue, praise. Think about those kind of things. Think about those kind of things. And watch how your life and how your focus and your attitude, how all that will begin to change. Stay on social media all the time. All you're going to see are images of people who you think their life is better than yours. So you're disappointed and angry and upset all the time. If you watch the news morning, afternoon, and night, then you're scared and worried and fearful about things that are happening around the world. That's your only diet. But when you listen to preaching, podcasts, and Holy Ghost singing and things like that, and you spend time in your word, your attitude is different. There is a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. There's a peace. The Bible says that that they that love your law, they have great peace, and nothing offends them. They have this great peace that comes over them because they love and trust that word, and they know, yeah, things are happening, but I got an anchor. My mindset is different. I'm not running and hiding and being fearful because I know God's going to be, just like God told Joshua, he said, wherever you go, I'll be with you. You know how encouraging that is when Joshua goes into the land of the enemy? I remember God's word, right? He said he'd be with me. Okay, let's go. And that's the way you live your life. I know God's with me. I know he'll never leave me. I know he'll provide. I know he'll bless. He'll fight no weapon for me. You know, just on and on and on. Meditate on these things. Think on these things.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.